Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Howard Herman, Executive Director of Perimeter Institute, and it gives me very, very great pleasure to welcome you all here this afternoon as the Premier has the opportunity to unveil his vision for the new Ministry of Research and Innovation right here in Waterloo. The program for this afternoon will be fairly short. After I speak, I will have the opportunity to introduce Mike Lazaridis, who I'm sure everybody here knows and needs no introduction, but it's my job to introduce him, so I will do so anyway. Mike will then have the opportunity to introduce the Premier. John Molloy will have the opportunity to thank the Premier, and the Premier will then take questions from the press in the lecture theater afterwards. So that's the format for this afternoon's brief festivities. Let me just take the opportunity, if I may, to say a few words about the fittingness of the Premier making these announcements here at Perimeter Institute and in Waterloo. For those of you who do not know, Perimeter Institute is a center for fundamental physics with two basic mandates, that of research, exploring the underlying laws of nature, basic research at its most foundational form, and outreach. We have a very vigorous outreach program and mandate here at the Institute. It is an institute which is a prime example, I believe, of private-public sector partnership led by the vision and largesse and philanthropy of Mike Lazaridis, and with enthusiastic and very strong support by the public sector, the Government of Ontario, the Government of Canada, and municipal governments that are represented here, as you see before you in this room. And so I would like to think, with some admitted bias, that this is one of the greatest examples of private-public sector partnership in research in this entire country, if not beyond. But Waterloo is known for even more than Perimeter Institute, surprisingly enough. There are several great universities, two great universities, University of Waterloo and Wilfrid Laurier University, both of them well heralded with a reputation of research and innovation. There is Conestoga College. There are great schools in the area. There is a great business community. There is a great tech community. This is indeed a very, very vivid and energetic cluster. This is what we all hope to be the future of research and innovation in this country. And so, for myself, as I am an observer of political processes, I have seen, as many of you have, I have seen ministries come and go and be renamed, and governments come and go. But something which is particularly inspirational for me is not only that there is a new ministry which has come to the Government of Ontario, the Ministry of Research and Innovation, but that this is a ministry that our Premier has elected to head up personally himself in an overwhelming statement of importance and confidence and vision for research and innovation in this province. It is truly spectacular, and I think we should all be very, very proud that he is here today as a representative of this new vision. But now, I would like to introduce formally somebody who is certainly a fellow traveler in this vision, somebody who has not only spoken at great lengths of the importance of research and innovation, but has put his money very much where his mouth is, not only, of course, in the corporate sector, but also by being a leading philanthropist, not only to found Perimeter Institute, but also to found the Institute for Quantum Computing at the University of Waterloo. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Lazaridis.
Thanks, Howard. And thank you to all of you for joining us this afternoon. I think Howard said many things about Perimeter. I think it's a great example of what can be done when you focus and you invest and you're patient. And certainly we're starting to see the fruits of that in the city in what I would consider remarkably short order. But this is just the beginning. Now, I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to welcome the Premier Dalton McGuinty to Waterloo and the Vermeer Institute this afternoon. But there's something special about this. And I think there are few introductions that I can make that can produce more awareness and understanding of why this is such an important event and why the Premier is unique in his ability and unique in his statement. See, we're here today to witness Premier McGuinty announce his new initiative. But I think what's really important is for us to take a moment to realize Premier McGuinty's background. Premier McGuinty was born in Ottawa in 1955. He received a law degree from the University of Ottawa and a science degree from McMaster University. Mr. McGuinty is married to his wife Terry, and together they have four children. Before entering politics, Premier McGuinty practiced law and taught business law at Carleton University. Mr. McGuinty was first elected to the Ontario Legislature in 1990. He was representing Ottawa South. Since then, Mr. McGuinty was elected leader of the Ontario Liberal Party in 1996. I know Premier McGuinty is a man of vision and integrity. It takes conviction and understanding to do what he's doing, not only to support science, innovation, and technology in his province, but to actually lead it, to take accountability for it personally, along with all the other challenges that he has as minister, or sorry, as premier. I think that this is a major achievement. I think this is something that we should really think about deeply. And this is quite an important announcement here today on many dimensions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike, for a very kind introduction. Good afternoon to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to see such wonderful representation here on the part of the municipal governments. Got Mayor Epp, Regional Chair Sealing, Mayor Zare, who's single-handedly driving up healthcare costs in Ontario. I wish he was speedy recovery there, Carol. Great to see President Johnson here. Is Bob Rosler here as well? Bob, great to see you here. I have only one thing to say. Go Hawks, go. You know, I've taken on Lauren Calvert, Premier Saskatchewan, and I said to him in my most diplomatic way possible, Lauren, you are going down. So we've had a bet, and when we win, he's got to wear a Golden Hawks jersey, so I'm not concerned about having to support anything of theirs. That's how confident I am in our guys. I really am pleased to be here, Mike and Howard, John, and to be in this wonderful setting. Someone mindful of the theater of the round with people up above who are in a strategic position to throw things at me should they be disappointed with the quality of my delivery. But there's a wonderful atmosphere here. I love what is taking place at the Premier Institute, and I think in very many ways it is largely symbolic of what is happening in this community. And that there is a determined effort to be the best. And one of the things that I have learned to understand even better as I serve Ontarians in my capacity as their premier, is that we have been commissioned as Ontarians, and it's important to understand this, we have been commissioned by history to lead. It is not something that we can shape. It's not something that we can avoid. Our responsibility is to provide leadership, not only for our country, but for indeed the world. So I love it when we can find ways to partner with and to be associated with any kind of an enterprise which establishes us as a leader. That's what I love about the Perimeter Institute.
I want to thank the Perimeter Institute for hosting this event. I want to thank Howard Burton for doing such an excellent job as our MC today. I want to thank Mike for his leadership. I want to thank him for his fabulous entrepreneurialism. I want to thank him for being a champion of innovation. And I want to thank him for his public-mindedness, which is in part manifested here through the Perimeter Institute. As Minister of Research and Innovation, I seem to be in the Waterloo region quite a lot these days. You keep innovating, so I've got to keep showing up. In just a few short decades, you become one of Ontario's leading areas for research and innovation. According to an upcoming survey by Communitech, there are some 455 technology companies operating in the Waterloo region. The technology industry accounts for over 29,000 jobs. These are world-class companies like Dalsa Corporation, which developed the cameras used on the Mars rover and the Canadair. And of these companies, 80% are planning to expand over the next 2 years, and 59% plan to increase their R&D investments over the next 3 years. So you have every right to be very proud of yourselves. You understand what innovation means. Dreaming of the impossible, and then building it, and then getting it out there before anyone else does, and then going back and doing it all over again. That reminds me of a story. A little girl was drawing a picture. Her teacher came by and said, "What are you drawing?" The little girl said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher replied, "That's impossible. Nobody knows what God looks like." "Well," she said, "in about 2 minutes they will." As Premier of Ontario and as Minister of Research and Innovation, it's my goal to do for our province what you've been able to do here. From the thinkers at Perimeter, to the testers at the Institute for Quantum Computing, to the builders at RIM, OpenText, and DALSA, you've unlocked your collective potential for innovation. It's my goal to do the same thing on a provincial scale, to build a more innovative, more creative Ontario. I want us to build the next BlackBerry, or make the next breakthrough in fuel cell technology, or cancer research. But I also want us to think even bigger than just that. Rather than just creating instances of innovation, we need to make innovation inevitable. We need to build an Ontario where creativity is sustained, ingrained, and cultivated in every sector and is part of everyone's job description. In other words, we need to build a culture of innovation. That's what I want to talk about today, about what this culture of innovation will look like and the steps we're taking right now to build it. The first step is unlocking the creative potential inside each and every one of us, because we all have that spark of creativity, the ability to imagine something completely new and create it ourselves. We all come into this world bursting with creativity and blissfully unaware that some of our dreams are impossible. We are all naturally curious. Here's what Albert Einstein once said about that. The important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existing. One cannot help but be in awe when he contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. It is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little of this mystery every day. Never lose a holy curiosity. So imagine what we could do if we could keep that spark alive, so that the child who builds the Lego robot becomes the engineer who builds the next generation Canada. Imagine what we could do if we gave young people the skills they need, so the toddler who tapes her handprints to the fridge door becomes the researcher who unlocks the secrets of the human genome. I believe that if we want to unlock our creative potential, if we want a province that is truly innovative, it all starts with education. I was just in China, President Johnson was there with me as well, on a trade mission. And believe me, the Chinese understand this. They're not content to rest on their laurels when it comes to their prowess they've achieved in the manufacturing sector. They're already investing heavily in education. Last year, over 300,000 engineers graduated from Chinese schools. The Chinese know that today's global economy favors the fast. Those who are fast to innovate, fast to produce, and fast to market. Those are the economies that will succeed. We're in a race, globally competitive and, let's be honest, a cutthroat race. And in this race, second place just isn't good enough. That's why my government believes so strongly in education and training for our young people. Now, some of our guests here today are the grade 12 students from Mr. Windisch's physics class at Cameron Heights Collegiate. It's great to have you here. Now, I'm not sure how many of you know this, but I guess you just learned about it. In university, I majored in science, in fact, in biology, which just goes to show you never know where a career in science is going to lead. I'm one of 10 kids. My mother refers to me as the unaccomplished one. But from my days in a lab coat, I know a little bit about the thrill you get from really understanding how something works, or knowing that you're contributing, even in a small way, to our understanding of the universe. So I want you students to know that our government believes in you. And we want you to be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with other young scientists from around the world. That's why we're investing an additional $6.2 billion in our colleges and universities over the next 5 years. That's money that will be spent across all disciplines, arts, sciences, and business. Something else you might want to keep in mind. I've insisted that nearly one quarter of that money be devoted to better student assistance. In fact, for the first time this year, in some 10 years, we've brought back grants. 32,000 students are getting outright grants. So it will not be an excuse in this province that somebody doesn't have the necessary funds, the necessary resources, in order to go on to an apprenticeship program, college, or university. And let me tell you something, this is just a matter of enlightened self-interest. It's not a matter of being nice to the younger generation. It's based on this profound understanding that if you do well, we do well. It's also based on a profound understanding that in this world today, you are growing up in a world where you can borrow capital, copy technology, and buy natural resources. There are only two things left on which to found a high wage, high standard of living, high quality of life economy. Education. Innovation. There isn't anything else. So if we're going to stay ahead of the curve, if we're going to enjoy the kind of prosperity that is in keeping with our heritage and in keeping with what we owe the previous generations who worked so hard to hand down to us on a silver platter the quality of life that we enjoy today, if we're going to do that, we've got to make sure that we develop our human capital. We're just kind of a fancy way of saying it. Making sure that young people have every possible opportunity to realize their potential. We want you to be nothing less than the very best that you could be. We're taking steps right now as well to support key areas of research. Just last week, we announced 64 awards worth $6.4 million to support teams working at 13 universities and 10 communities across the province. That brings our total commitment to researchers to $30 million over 3 years. The awards will support research in such diverse fields as wildlife management, the treatment of Alzheimer's disease, and improving wireless networks. Our government also knows that a culture of innovation requires a strong, supporting infrastructure. That means investing in research capacity. Hungarian Nobel Prize winner Albert Szentgyörgyi described research best. He said, "Research is to see what everybody is seeing and to think what nobody has thought." If our researchers are going to compete with everybody else and make breakthroughs that nobody else can make, they need our support. That's why, earlier this fall, our government announced that we're supporting research infrastructure at 20 research institutes in communities across the province. Together with our investments last year, we're investing $100 million to support 350 innovative projects under our newly created Ontario Research Fund. Some of the projects include a new space avionics and instrumentation lab at Ryerson, a greenhouse gas sensing lab at the University of Ottawa, and an award that will allow Dr. Pan from the University of Waterloo to work with a new kind of polymer to create transparent insulation for windows. A couple of other things that I've learned about just recently. I have now in my office, you know, there's a door as you manufacture cars. There's a frame that's placed inside the doors. And we're always looking to move ahead in the auto sector. But by the way, notwithstanding some of the bad news you've heard about auto in the North American economy, for the first time since the invention of the car, we're the number one auto producer in North America. Again, our destiny, and we cannot escape this, is to lead. Back to the component that's found in between the walls of the door. I saw two of them recently. One was made entirely out of soybean, the other one out of hemp. Interesting. The other thing that the students might find interesting, there are five guys who worked in a basement laboratory in London. I don't know if anybody here follows the NHL. I'm sure you're strong supporters of my Ottawa Senators. But some of the guys are now mic'd. The refs are mic'd, and they're doing this as well. But some of the hockey players have been mic'd. And it's all time delayed because you never know what the heck they're going to say when they're up there. Nice. But in any event, they're wearing now the world's smallest self-contained microphone, wireless. It was invented by five guys working in the basement in London, Ontario. Those are some of the interesting things that places us on the cutting edge in our province. One of my biggest responsibilities, frankly, is to help relate research. You understand the value of research. But I've got to bring it home to people. Make it relevant to them. Make them understand that there's a direct relationship between our support for our research and innovation and the quality of life we enjoy, the strength of our economy. Over the next 3 years, we're going to be investing $3.3 million as part of our plan to promote a greater golden horseshoe, which includes this community, as a leading research hub. Our plan is to draw even more top researchers and research projects to the region and build our public and private research capacity. We're going to build on our existing strengths in biotechnology, information and communications technologies, automotive technology, advanced manufacturing, alternative energy, and fuel cell technology, and environmental technologies. Now, a culture of innovation is heavily dependent on creative people who are not only well-educated, but also healthy. That means investing in their health and well-being. So just this morning, I officially launched the Ontario Institute for Cancer Research and committed $142 million for cancer research. This exciting new institute is the first of its kind in Canada. It's going to bring teams of our best researchers from across Ontario together to collaborate on big projects that can only be tackled by working together. It's going to study the causes, prevention, and early detection of cancer. It will translate research into programs, technologies, and therapies, and work with industry to commercialize research results. What it means is that Ontario's schools, businesses, and hospitals will be taking their place at the forefront of the fight against cancer. It means Ontario will be a more attractive place for the private sector to invest and do research. But more importantly than any of that, it means hope for Ontario families. today, somewhere in Ontario, somebody will be having a meeting with a doctor, and they're going to get a diagnosis. They will be informed that they have been stricken with cancer. The reason that we're investing $142 million in this exciting new institute is to bring help and to bring a sense of hope, meaningful hope, for Ontario families when it comes to what they've got to grapple with, so that they are not, as Steinbeck once put it, merely leading lives of quiet desperation. Ladies and gentlemen, our government is committed to improving the lives of all Ontarians by strengthening our province's commitment to research and innovation. And we're taking a leadership role, and we're committed to nurturing innovation in all sectors. But we're realistic too. We know that a culture of innovation isn't something that you can create overnight. And it's not something that we can do alone. So this is where you can. I need your help. Everyone in this room here today, scientists and students, politicians and business leaders, has a role to play in turning our province into a lightning rod for research and innovation. As Robert Browning once wrote, a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for him? My friends, it's time for all of us to reach higher. Here in Ontario, we have some of the brightest, most creative minds on the planet. We have some of the best schools, and we have the best teachers. We have a highly productive and skilled workforce, leading-edge research facilities, fearless entrepreneurs, scientists who are pushing back the frontiers of human knowledge each and every day, and creative minds in every field of human activity. One of them will be the next Madame Curie, the next Stephen Hawking, the next George Lucas, the next Marshall McLuhan, and the next, dare I say, Mike Lazaridis. Somewhere in Ontario, right now, they're working on the idea that will change our lives forever. Let's give them our support. Let's unleash their potential. And by so doing, let's unleash Ontario's potential. Thank you very much.
I believe that the world is divided into two types of people, those who get it and those who don't. Those who understand the interrelated forces of technology, globalization, and the rise of powerful new economies are in the process of changing the fundamental nature of our society. Those who recognize that our greatest resource in meeting these challenges is the knowledge and creativity of our population. And those who realize that in order to prepare ourselves, we need to invest in education, training, research, and innovation. Premier, you understand these fundamental truths. Through your government's policies, through your creation and leadership of the Ministry of Research and Innovation, and through the important message that you've delivered to us here today, you've demonstrated your focus in laying the groundwork for Ontario's future prosperity in the new economy. Your presence in Waterloo Region today sends a clear signal that you recognize our region's role in securing Ontario's future. In a very short time, as you said in your speech, our area has become an important hub of research and innovation, and it's fitting that you chose to make your remarks today at one of the region's symbols of its global excellence, Perimeter Institute. I want to thank the Perimeter Institute for helping to host today's speech. I want to thank all of you for attending. And most of all, I want to thank the Premier for visiting our region, for sharing his vision, and most of all, for demonstrating that he gets it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
this point, I too would like to thank you. Before we dismiss, I'd like to just add one parenthetic comment. For those of you who know me, this will come as no surprise, but I was actually determined to wear a tie today in honor of this auspicious occasion, but the Premier insisted that I dress like a physicist, so thought I'd dress down. Media interviews will be held in the Mike Lazzarini's Theater of Ideas with the Premier. Thank you all very, very much for coming and joining us on this very happy day. Thank you very much. Thank you.